5, we are going to use the jars again this week before we tear down. We do have 6, but I didn't want you thinking about what number 6 was yet. We have some water. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and bless the Lord to speak to us. Ephesians chapter 5 when we're done. Father, we thank you today that, Lord, you do not allow your word to return void or empty, but you always cause it to accomplish the purpose that you send it for. And I just pray today, open our ears, Lord, for this short message, that we will hear from you, we will respond to you, Lord, and Lord, there'll be something in each one of us where, as we sang, I came in empty and I leave filled. I came in broken and I left healed. Father, that we will, through your word, that the power of your word will be manifest in each of our lives. Speak to us in your name, we pray. Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 18. I do have a short message today, so don't clap, but it's very short. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Paul writes, and he encourages them. In fact, let's go back to verse 15. And he says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And then this is our key verse. "Don't be drunk on wine." The New Living Translation says, "because that will ruin your life, but be filled with the Spirit." I was here this week, and after we got done Sunday, and we had used these jars of water for something else, God began to speak to me that if we are full, first jar, full of water, I have this pitcher of water here. There's nothing I can put in this jar. This jar is full. If I put it in here, it's going to overflow. It'll splash all over the table. This jar's got some room. I can pour into this one, and I can pour into this one. I can pour into this one. I can pour into this one. But there's nothing I can do here. And here's what God spoke to me. He said, "My goal for my people is that as I fill them, they pour out to other people. They encourage someone." So here's this jar that's full. Someone's down and depressed. I'm going to encourage them. Someone is really struggling and lonely, and there's no one else in their life, I'm going to reach out to them. Someone else is going through a time when they need someone to walk alongside them. I'm going to change my schedule. And we pour out to others, and we pour out to others, and all of a sudden, this jar that couldn't take a single thing, all of a sudden, God can pour back into and fill it up again. Do you know our life is to be a continual emptying and filling. It's to be a continual emptying and filling where we pour out and we reach out to others and then God fills us. Ephesians 5:18, where it says, "Don't be drunk with wine, it'll ruin your life, but be filled with the Spirit." The tense of the Greek word is be continually being filled. It's the continuous tense. So it's not be filled one time and you're all done, but it's constantly be filled with the Spirit. And Paul envisioned a group of people that did not just live for themselves, but a group of people that cared about one another, that loved one another, that served one another, and their life was represented by pouring out to others. One of the dangers that you and I face is that our life is so about ourselves and about what we have planned and what's on our agenda and our family that pouring out to other people in need never happens. Our life's too consumed with ourselves and our family unit, and there's nothing outside of that. We live in a hurting world. Will you say amen?
Amen.
We live in a world where forget the prosperity around us, but how does the most prosperous nation in the world lead the world in the consumption of depression medication? How does the world that has the best houses and the most land surrounding those houses and two cars in every driveway consume as much anti-depression medicine as the rest of the world combined? How does that happen? We live in a broken world, and the answer for every broken life is Jesus Christ. Only he went up to heaven, and as Carrie shared, he left a job for you and I to do. We're the ones who are supposed to tell them that there's a God that loves them. We're the ones who are supposed to share there is forgiveness. There's a God that satisfies, God that fills. And if you and I are so consumed with our own lives, and I sat here the other day and just looked at this, and God said, if you're not ever going to pour out, you're going to get stale, you're going to get messed up, because there will be nothing for me to do until you give. Can we say amen to that? We have been created. Scripture says in Corinthians, we are God's ambassadors. We are the ones who are to carry the message of God's love, but not even just the message. We're the ones who are supposed to pick someone up when they're broken. I know people that are lonely, but we get so busy and we fill every moment of our day that time for the hurting people is not there. And we excuse it away. We assume it's not me, Lord, because you see how busy my life is. And we make the mistake of filling our... I try to represent it with this jar. This jar is filled with things, rocks. Some of them are pretty colors, but they're never going to produce another rock. And I know that sounds silly, maybe. I'm sorry if it's too simple, but never going to produce anything. Never going to bear any fruit. Never going to make a difference. They were a decoration by the road, but we fill our lives with things that don't matter. And then we wonder why there's no room for God. We wonder why there's no hunger for God. Why there's no time in our lives and energy to reach out to other people, to draw them to Christ, to disciple them, to pray for them, to go out of our way for other people. And we're here. We're here. Sometimes we get some room. These break. They weren't that expensive. Hold on, guys. Sometimes we get some room in our lives, and I hope I can demonstrate this without a mess. But all of a sudden, there's room for more in our lives, and God is wanting to do something. We just find one thing after the other to do. And we fill our lives with meaningless things. You know, Peter says in 1 Peter 1:18, God has delivered you from your empty way of life. It's interesting that this is filled to overflowing, and I didn't put any water in. We can fill our lives with things that don't matter. What Carrie started with, we have been called to pour out to other people and to make a difference. We are to be God's voice. Someone needs a scripture, it's to be you and I. Someone is hopeless, it's to be you and I. Someone does not have Christ in their life and his salvation, it's to be you and I. We are the vessels to pour out into the world around us, and God has promised. He said, if you hunger and thirst, every time you pour out, God says, I'm going to pour in. This is to be the pattern of our life. We pour out. Claudia needs prayer for her headache after service. We pour out. We're going to pray for her. That's all I could think of. You can see her holding, I saw you holding your head. We pour out in prayer. And what does God do? He comes and pours in. We can live this life without ever pouring out. Who's ever, let's be honest, who's ever gotten so busy that you can go a month and you didn't do anything for anyone, didn't pray for anyone, didn't encourage, send a scripture, did nothing. And I'm sure I'm not the only hand. We can get so consumed with this life that it's all about us. It's all about me being happy. It's all about me enjoying life. I deserve it. And God has created us to pour out, to pour out, to pour out, to pour out. And this is not a school supply giveaway message, because it's to be our life. It's to be our life, and it's to be the way that we live. The early church in Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We know when God poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost that they left the upper room. They were all speaking in a different language, and the people around them were amazed at what was going on. But in Acts 4, in verse 31, these same people, the Bible says, and God poured out his Spirit, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Hold on. I thought they were filled. I thought they were filled in Acts 2. What's going on? Did he miss a few? No. They lived lives where they poured out to other people, and God filled them. They poured out to others in need. You and I have got to get more sensitive. God has a filling for our lives. Ephesians 1, in verse 22, that we would be filled with all of the fullness of Christ. Paul says that you receive wisdom. Some of us face situations where we need wisdom. God wants to fill us. God wants to fill us. You want some wisdom? I have the ultimate mathematical formulation. Find someone this week that needs some wisdom in an area God has blessed you in. Find someone that needs some wisdom with their family, with fixing a car, with some area of life, and you do this. You pour into them, no matter how messed up their life is. No matter if their life looks like this, you go pour into them. You help them. And what has God promised? He'll pour back into you. Scripture says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What's the promise? Who can tell me? What's the promise? For they will be filled. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What are the areas you and I are to hunger and thirst for? You know, it's interesting in some of the scriptures. Hunger and thirst for God to help the poor. For God to be with the lonely and brokenhearted. Hunger and thirst for God to help the widows, orphans, the fatherless. Hunger and thirst for our nation to turn around. for God to do a work in America as it continues to slide downhill. The Dow Jones average has gone this way, and the moral standards have gone that way. It's an X that we see on America right now. One is the financial side, and the other is the moral side. God is looking for a people who will hunger and thirst for what's right and how to live right. And his promise is, I'll fill you. I'll fill you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what's right, for they will be filled. It's an interesting dynamic because it's clear the choice is ours. Amen? In other words, Jesus said, listen, if you hunger and thirst for what's right, I'll fill you. He said, blessed are those who mourn, they'll be comforted. It's not like there's some magic formula. If we get the hunger and thirst right, the filling will come because the Lord promised it. Numbers says it is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to give a promise and lie. And so you look through the scriptures. Every time where it says, blessed is, it's a choice for you and I. We can get hungry. We can get hungry for more of God, but it's going to take some slowing down. It's going to take looking at the realities of the people around us and what their needs are and their life situations and getting real instead of having blinders on. But if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, the scripture says you'll be filled. When you look at the miracle that Jesus did at Cana of Galilee, the first miracle at the wedding, what did he get? He got six empty vessels of water, and they were filled. You look at the miracle that took place for the prophet's widow, who was so in debt that they were going to sell her two sons into slavery to pay the debt. And Elisha said, go and gather every empty vessel you can find. Tell you, the worst thing to be on a continual basis is full. What I mean is this, never pouring out. You live your life, you go through the routine, it's all about you and your family, period. When I say about your family, I want to make sense with that. Because obviously I love my family, my kids, my grandkids. But Jesus told his disciples, he said, listen, after you've done everything I've told you to do, just stop and realize you were supposed to do that and you're an unprofitable servant. You know, shame on me if I don't care for my family. Amen? Shame on me if I don't pour out to children, grandchildren, wife, to the family around me. That's my responsibility. And as a husband, and as a father, and a grandfather. But there's a going beyond that, pouring out to people I don't have to. You know, does that make sense? This isn't an anti-family message, but it's a pouring out message. It's get out of your comfort zone message. It's easy to call John and talk about Jesus. That's pretty simple. It's all he wants to talk about. But find someone walking through the parking lot here and talk to them about the Lord. Talk to the guy who's at the party store down the road about the Lord. It's a lot harder than John. And at some point, you and I have got to go from being full to being empty. From being satisfied to being hungry. I've told you this a million times. One pastor said, if you could ask God for anything, what would you ask him for? And he said, I'd ask God for hunger. He said, it's the greatest thing we can have. Are you and I hungry for more of God? Are we hungry for God to fill us? Are we hungry for God to do miracles among us? Luke 1 and 53 says he has filled the hungry with good things. Proverbs 16 and verse 26. It says the laborer's appetite works for him. His hunger drives him on. Get a group of people that are hungry to see our church make a difference, and we'll begin to grow. A group of people hungry to see us make a difference, hungry to see God move among us, hungry for an outpouring of His Holy Spirit. The laborer's appetite works for him. His hunger drives him on. You and I are going to be hungry for something. Amen? We're going to be hungry for more entertainment. We're going to be hungry for more things that satisfy. Or we're going to be hungry for more of God. He satisfies the thirsty, David wrote, and He fills the hungry with good things. I'm praying that you and I will begin to realize that the way for our Christianity to stay fresh, and I think if we put a comma there, Christianity can get stale when you're not pouring out. Christianity can get would everyone agree? We agree, Christianity can get really stale when you're going to church. When it's Sundays and Wednesday sometimes, and things with your family, Christianity can get stale. But when you're ministering, and you're reaching out, and you're going above and beyond, it's amazing how Christianity's not stale when you're praying for someone to get healed. When you're visiting someone that's hurting, you're dropping off a meal to somebody that's been going through stuff. You're asking someone, even though you don't really want to do it, to go get coffee because you know they're lonely. All of a sudden, your Christianity becomes fresh. Because you got rid of some of the old. We've all sat in church for the most part a long time. We've heard every message under the sun. It's a challenge to hear a message that we haven't heard already, and we go, yeah, I bet he's going to say this next. I bet he's going to say this next. We've heard every message. You and I desperately need to pour into others. Can I just use that as a demonstration? People need you, but you need people. Can I tell you? You and I need someone who's hurting as much as the hurting person needs us. We need someone to give to. We need someone to say, hey, let's do something. Someone who say, hey, what do you have planned tomorrow? As we pour out, God pours in. Ephesians 5 is interesting, the first verse we opened with. Because it says, don't get drunk with wine. And how many would agree, and this is not a drinking thing, but we would all agree that's a choice, right? You make a choice, you can order Diet Coke. Wine, and maybe a restaurant's a bad idea, but you can make a choice to get drunk. And just keep drinking. It's a choice. That's why I said, hey, don't do it. It'll ruin your life, New Living. He said, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, Paul is saying this. It's a choice. It's a choice to get drunk with wine. Instead, choose to be filled with the Spirit. We've always had the mentality that we don't have anything to do with being filled with the Spirit. If God wants to fill us, He's sovereign, which He is. God will fill us. It's not our choice. Paul's saying, don't get drunk with wine. Don't make that choice. Choose to be filled with the Spirit. Choose to get hungry. Choose to press in and worship. Choose to read your Bible. Choose to pray and ask God to fill you, and He will. Begin to make choices that are right, because I don't see a God who is reluctant to fill. You start to reach out, I just use this, to people that are lonely. Let's say you just say, okay, I'm tired of stale Christianity. Lord, give me someone this week. I'm just going to call. I'll call Pastor. He's retired now. He doesn't do anything. I'll reach out to him. And so you make a phone call, and as you pour out, God promises and God pours in. And all of a sudden, there is a filling. There's an antidote for stale Christianity. And it's doing our part in the body of Christ. It's doing our part to minister the love of Christ. He fills the hungry with good things. Proverbs 27:7. We went out to eat yesterday, a place we visited some friends up by Gladman, and we went to this little restaurant. And when we left, they had been raving about the desserts. Okay, and so we filled up with the meal. We were stuffed beyond stuffed. And then it was like, you've got to try the carrot cake. Okay, so I was putting carrot cake where there was no room. Okay, and I mean, I love carrot cake, but I was full. Proverbs 27:7. I'm going somewhere. It says, he who is full loathes honey. He who is full hates even honey, which is sweet and wonderful. But to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Who's ever been so hungry that you've eaten something that it's not on your list of favorite foods? Anybody here? I can remember going camping, and mushrooms are the worst possible food to me, okay? I don't like mushrooms. But I can remember going camping and eating mushrooms because we were on a wilderness camping trip, six guys, of course. We were going to catch 8 million fish. We were going to eat fish every night. It was going to be the camping trip of the world, only we didn't catch a single fish. And so the scripture was fulfilled. Even the bitter tasted sweet. You know, we need to get empty and we need to get hungry. Amen? We need to get empty and we need to get hungry. We need to love one another and not just say amen on a Sunday. We need to leave here and we need to pour out where when the scripture, when the song that we sang this morning, it's interesting. I come in empty. I leave filled. You know, I don't know why we're coming in empty. I don't know if we're coming in empty because we haven't had any God for a couple months and we've had too busy of a summer. But I want us to come in empty next Sunday morning because we loved all week and we served all week and we went out of our way all week. That in the smallest of situations, we poured out. Somebody at work just talked about what their family's going through. We said, listen, I'll pray for you. And when they walked away, we wrote it down, and we actually prayed for it. And we kept it on our dresser, and every night of the week, we prayed that God would touch his wife who had cancer. We'll come in a little emptier next Sunday morning, and God will fill us. I tell you, we need to get empty. As a church, as believers who have known Christ for all of our lives, that we've known each other, we need to get empty, and we need to get hungry. We need to pour out, and we need to have room for all of God. No Christians that look like this. No more Christians who look like this, that we fill our life with so much junk that there's hardly room for God. There's a scripture that goes in 1 Corinthians, and it talks about the body of Christ, the church. And it talks about that which every joint provides. I think it's 14:26, but I'm not sure. But it talks about what every joint provides. You know, every one of us is to be a part of building up the church. Every one of us is to be a part of reaching out to others, helping to show the love of Christ, to make their lives better because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did for us. And so you and I are called to pour out, and God has promised. Isaiah 44, in verse 3, if you would go to that next. Just two more verses, I promise to be short. Isaiah 44 in verse 3. I'm going to pray an opposite prayer at the end. I'm not going to pray for God to fill you today. I'm going to pray that you get emptied. And I'm serious. We're too full. We hear a message every week. Some weeks there's hardly room for another one. We didn't live out last Sundays, and now you got something else. Just give me time. We need to get empty before God. Isaiah 44 in verse 3. It's one of the most beautiful promises in the Bible. If you read your announcements right under the title of the church and the date, this scripture has been in your announcements every Sunday for years. My guess is it's so familiar that we don't see it, but Isaiah 44 in verse 3 says, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and on your descendants. God has promised to fill us. God has promised to fill us with his Holy Spirit. We've got to have room for him. Amen? When the Shunammite in 2 Samuel 4, when Elisha was stopping there, and he would stop by and she would feed him, eventually it says she made a room for him in her house where he had a bed and a desk and a chair. She made room for him. And when he came and visited one time, an interesting miracle took place. Because he came and she said, Elisha said, what can I do for you? And she said, nothing. And his servant said, she's barren. Never had a child. And he prayed for her that she would have a son, and she had a son. Why did that miracle take place? She made room for him. And we need to make room for more of God in our lives. Amen? We need to make room for God to move, for God to fill us. Last scripture, we're going to stand and pray. Zechariah 4:12. It speaks of the two olive branches, and it says this. Then empty the golden oil out of themselves. They empty it out of themselves. And God is looking for men and women that will pour out to other people, even when you're tired. Even when you have a better option. Even when you have made plans to do something. God is looking for us to live lives that aren't self-centered but other-centered. Lives that love, that serve, and that give. And you know, as we do those things, God's promised to bless. God's promised to bless. Can we stand and go to prayer this morning? Hallelujah. Frank, can you just come and play for a second? Would you be so kind? Hallelujah. Spur of the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we just bow our heads as Frank comes? At some point, you and I have to, and it's me too, me first, we have to get honest with God about whether we've been pouring out or whether we have been so living for ourselves that we're the full bottle. God's spoken to us so much that we don't have room for another word, but there's not much giving out. We're Christians. We're good people. We're saved. But we're busy with our family and our lives. And pouring out for Jesus. Doing what Carrie opened with. Doing our part in the body of Christ. Doing that which God has created us to do. It's not there. And so our Christianity loses its freshness. It loses the freshness. And all of a sudden, it's old. We're not hungry for one more message. We've heard every one of them. You know, it's funny when you start to minister to someone that doesn't know Christ, or you start to disciple someone who is new in the Lord. all of a sudden you're hungry to hear from God so you can pass it on. Amen? Who remembers those days? We get hungry for God to pass it on. And God is looking for people who will get empty and who will get hungry. Get empty and get hungry. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Stretch your hand out to Claudia. Father, we thank you. And we know that you have touched her in times past, but we come.